It's time for conversations about our food and how it's grown on Farm to Table Talk with your host, Roger Wasson.
Over half of all the vegetables consumed in the U.S. are either tomatoes or they're potatoes. Of the tomatoes we eat, 58% are from cans or jars where they have been preserved to provide year-round summer freshness and contribute to our good health. In fact, a large body of science indicates that the tomato products we consume, from salsa to pizza toppings, not only provide servings of vegetable, but support heart and prostate health. Over 95% of all the processing tomatoes grown in America come from California, where the perfect mix of climate, soil, and progressive farmers are producing around 65 tons of tomatoes per acre while using nearly 30% less water than a few years ago. For perspective on the growing of tomatoes that nearly all of us are eating in some form every day, we attend the annual meeting of the California Tomato Growers Association and spoke with Fred Ferguson, who's a former chairman of the Growers Association and a Fresno County tomato farmer.
Brett, you're here to participate with other tomato growers in an annual meeting of the Tomato Growers Association. And then also at the same time, there's an educational program going on. At this time of the year, where's your head have to be as a tomato grower? Well, you're ending one season, you're looking ahead.
Well, we have to be aware of the new research projects that are being displayed here today to take that into consideration on our plans for the year, how we're approaching some of the different weed pressures, disease issues. And these research projects are ongoing, but it gives us a look at where they're going and what to keep an eye out for.
Where is your acreage?
It is in southern Fresno County.
Do you face different issues there than, say, up and down the state? Is that area have to be looked at differently than other parts of the state?
Yes, it does. I mean, we're some of the same weed hosts are up and down the state, but down south we're probably fighting some certain weeds pressures more. Disease issues, where our fields are and our ranches, we have different insect pressures that come out of the hills. So we do have to, each part of the state is a little bit different. So we have to keep on top of it.
What states do you just have like a blank map and say, okay, we're going to make a decision. We can grow this, we can grow that, we can grow such and such an amount of tomatoes, or there may be some other row crop go in there. What goes into making that decision?
Our farm, we're on a three-year mapping plan. We plan out 3 years from now for our rotations. So it's not just deciding in last October or November while we're planning here in March. We plan a three-year map, and that's our long-range map. Sometimes we'll have to make changes last minute on what crops, but we usually have a three-year rotational map that we're planning ahead for our crops.
So what share of your farm would be tomatoes typically?
It's around 30%.
And it would stay standard. I mean, even if there's like you have a lousy year with tomatoes or something else, you don't vary from that much. You can just say, okay, it stunk last year. Let's get out and shift over into this other commodity.
No, we'll take a look at commodity prices and disease years from the past to lower our risk. So we do make some changes in that three-year plan. It's, you know, commodity prices play a lot too. So we try to look at all factors to make those decisions.
So you've got this chunk of land that you've identified and saying the tomatoes are going to go into it. What shape is it in?
It's bare dirt now with beds put up. We try to get all of our groundwork, previous crop turned under during the fall, put our beds up, prepped for the following year, prior first of the year.
So if you had a field right now, what might have been in it last year if it wasn't tomatoes?
It could have been cantaloupes or cotton. Or wheat.
And so what? You disc it up, getting a lot of that material back into the ground a little bit?
Correct, yes.
And then how do you you shape a bed?
Yeah, we have one pass rigs. We'll come in and pull the bed, flatten it off, and put our fertilizers in at one pass.
So you say pull a bed. You're somehow, how does that happen? I mean, it kind of lifted up, it's a little higher, and then there's furrows beside the
bed. Yes, it's a one pass. It has furrows in the front, a fertilizer shanks in the center, and then a bed shaper behind that. So it just pulls the beds up and makes it flat. And on that note, we can use the same bed for either cantaloupes, tomatoes, or cotton.
So if it's raised And so, and then part of that, what about, where does drip irrigation fit into it? Buried drip.
Buried drip is buried in before you pull the beds up. So buried drip is in the ground. Typically, we like to leave our buried drip in for 5 years on the same field.
So you can put, the buried drip is in, and you can put cantaloupe on top of it, and you can put tomatoes on top of it?
Or cotton, either one. It's a, because our bed configuration, we can grow multiple crops on the same bed.
How do you manage to not rip it up? I mean,
well,
it seems
all,
like if you do any kind of work at all on the top of those beds, that there'd be a chance that you'd be going down deep enough to be tearing up some of that drip irrigation.
Well, our drip irrigation's below surface 13 inches.
Oh.
So, and it's put in with the GPS guidance system, so we know exactly where it is. So that tractor has that in its onboard guidance system. So we never put a tillage shank or knife near the tape.
Can you tell from the production of the previous year that some places were not getting as efficiently dealt with the drip irrigation? You know, what I'm saying is, like, some areas get too wet or too dry, and you can make an adjustments in the between the seasons.
We'll check the efficiencies of our tape. Sometimes the emitters that put out the water will get plugged up, so we're constantly treating our tape to keep the emitters from being plugged. We'll watch our efficiencies. When the efficiencies of the tape get below a threshold, then we'll take and remove the tape and put new tape in.
You know, there's a lot of talk about trying to sequester as much carbon as possible. I'm wondering how much of the residues from the previous crop you're able to recover to keep it in the ground and keep from kind of minimally disturbing the soil.
Yeah, well, we only till the soil in between crops, or we're probably tilling around 6-8 inches is all we're tilling the soil. So that's been turned over and put right back in the soil.
Now, is there some stage you're looking at the condition of the soil? Can you tell if the soil is degrading at all?
Well, we're constantly pulling soil samples and see what minerals are left in the soil and keeping it in conditions. And that's probably our rotation program to rotate with other crops that will help keep the soil in the proper condition.
Well, it's really, really interesting. Do you have a feeling that over the years you've been farming this land, is there a way for you to tell whether or not the soil is degrading? That it's because there's a lot of people are concerned that our soil is not what it used to be and that we have to keep building up the soil. But are you able to look back in some history and be able to tell whether or not it's changing?
Well, we are finding that doing our minimum or somewhat minimum till with our buried drips in the fields, that the soil is humic or organic matter is building up, and we're finding that things are less diseases, if we use the right rotations.
So you're getting the beds already. I mean, you said about getting the beds already, you're kind of getting it worked up. You've got, and you said you're getting some fertilization into it too. And what will you be putting in for
some phosphate?
And what about nitrogen?
That all comes through fertile irrigation through the drip system. We'll apply that through the drip system itself when we're irrigating.
And potash?
Yes.
Same thing? And so you can be, you're pumping the water through, you can be adding what it needs in fertility
and
in the soil.
And micromanage what we're needing.
We're using a lot less water with drip tapes.
Correct.
So how much do you think you've saved? What percentage?
We're probably around 30%.
Of
water.
And as to what you used to be?
Yes.
You're a third of what you used to be?
That's pretty,
you're 30%
less?
30% less. And at the same time, you can just keep adjusting the
correct.
So
yes.
So you get really efficient when you're putting the water in. You get real efficient when you're able to apply and give it exactly the fertility it needs. When did you make a decision on what variety of tomatoes that you would be putting in?
Well, our processors give us a variety list to choose from to plant what product that they're putting up. So they all work hand-in-hand with us growers as a grower to determine which variety suits their needs and suits our soil types.
So you have to have a contract then, or you have to know where you're shipping before you decide what you're planting.
Correct, yes. The processor will let us know what varieties meets his needs and time slot, yes.
So, and then adding the seeds, how much of it is transplant and how much would be used with seeds?
We're strictly 100% transplant on our farm.
So you're ordering these, and when do the transplants come? And these little sprouts are what, 2-3 inches tall?
Yeah, they're around 5 inches tall, above ground. There are seeded Stuff we're going to be planting or harvesting first 10 days of July. Mm-hmm. Those plants were seeded in the greenhouse in 1st of January.
So you had to know what your contract was. You had to know what the variety was. You had to know how much you were planting, and you got them in January, and then you're going to
transplant in March.
And then you're ready to harvest in July.
Correct.
And through that process, then, you get them in the ground. Do you have to bring extra crews on to be able to put the transplants
in? Yes, well, typically we'll contract out to a third party to come in and transplant our plants.
They go through the field, and is it all mechanical, or somebody sitting on the back of a machine and dropping them in the ground?
Correct, yes. Right now it's all...
All mechanical. And then as you go through this season, then, what are the adjustments you have to make? Because you do have fertilization. You're keeping track of that, and you keep adding it. You got the water, you're adding it. What about weed control and insects?
Weed control and insects, we're taking tissue samples of the plants during the summer to see what fertility we need to add or cut back on. So we're constantly monitoring the plants by tissue samples.
By tissue samples.
Taking a leaf sample, send it into the lab, the analysis, and see where our fertilizers are in the plant itself.
What about insects? Does that vary a great deal? You have to walk the fields to see
that? Walk the fields 2 to 3 times a week and check for insects and just monitor them. Adjoining fields, we'll watch those to see if there's certain insects in those fields that will harm the tomatoes, so we'll be monitoring the whole area for what's moving around.
Do you use any beneficial insects?
No.
But that is done by some. So instead, what you're using is some material that if you got the insects, that would spray and kill them.
Yes.
And then what about the other diseases? Are there molds or other kind of disease that get into the course of the
season? Yes, we have several tools. A lot of the varieties today are bred to be tolerant or resistant to some of the diseases and mold. Then we'll also, in conjunction with the varieties, we'll use different sprays, fungicides to help those diseases from coming in.
So when you say that they're bred for to resist, does that mean, are they GMO?
No, they're taking wild species of tomato plants. And there's a bank that they'll take genes from a certain wild plant and put that in there. So it's all, there's no GMO.
Yeah. And so in the course of that season, so you get them in the ground in March, and you're going to take them out in July. How many passes through the field do you need to make that you've got equipment going up and down the rows?
Well, from pulling the beds up until we get to harvest, we're pulling the beds, we're transplanting. We cultivate 3 times, that's 5 passes, and then we'll come in and sometimes trim the plants, a couple passes, that's 7, and then the harvest would be 8, and then we'll disc after the crop to put it back under. So we're probably around 10 passes.
So you get tractors that are running on diesel of some sort to be able to do that. And then also, if you've reduced the water usage 30%, does that mean that the electricity that's used for the pumps has been reduced about 30% too?
Correct, yes.
So overall, if you look at this period of time, are you able to say that you have impacted your carbon footprint time?
Oh, yes, we have. We're using smaller tractors now. We're not doing typical tillage work. We're just minimum till. So, yeah, we're using the smaller tractors, burning less fuel. So, yeah, there is a big carbon footprint that we're not, yeah.
Now, the people that are doing your work, are they tend to be salaried employees for the most part, or do you have to bring in a lot of seasonal people?
We have our main ranch is a full-time year, and then we'll use seasonal people to come in for weeding or the transplanting. We'll take care of us with the seasonal employees.
And then just one more thing, then when you start taking these harvesting, are you thinking that will stay tomatoes in the following year, or will there be a rotation coming in behind your tomatoes?
We typically try to rotate every year. Mm-hmm. Some years, if the commodity prices warrant or the processors want more times, we'll do 2 years in the same field. But the process, we'll put the beds back flat, pull them back up. So we'll sometimes run two years.
So, Brent, you have an opportunity to plant tomatoes and plant other things. What is it that you, why do you like tomatoes, and maybe what's a headache about tomatoes?
Well, it's something I've been involved in the tomato industry for just close to 40 years now in one aspect or another. It's we like farming, but it's feed my family too, so it's a family.
Are they a harder crop to grow than other crops?
Compared to wheat or cotton, tomatoes is more intense. There's mm-hmm. more things to watch out for.
I hope you get paid for that.
Well, we're trying to. So far we're paying our bills and feeding our family.
So if you look on down the road in the next 4 or 5 years, are there certain things that should happen to make the tomato business better for you? If you're being a tomato farmer, using processed tomatoes, do you see something coming down the pike, either technology or anything else, that you would like to see happen that would make you more optimistic about the future of the business?
Well, so we have to keep our technology moving forward towards we're more efficient to compete in the world market. We have to promote our product better, try to mm-hmm. get the consumptions up. Those are all things that if we're able to do that, we're able to, be able to grow more and be more profitable.
Well, thanks. Keep those tomatoes coming.
Thank you, Roger.
You've been listening to Farm to Table Talk with your host, Roger Wasson. If you like what you hear, go to farmtotabletalk.com and follow us on Facebook and Twitter, or go to iTunes to subscribe and give us a review and a rating. Thanks for listening to Farm to Table Talk with your host, Roger Wasson.